Amen. Praise the Lord. He is so good. Amen. Thankful for all the veterans today. If you serve, we are so thankful for you. And, you know, my brother this week had open heart surgery and is doing really well. Thankful for that. Holly and I went up to see him this week and ministered to him. And but he served in Vietnam, received 2 Purple Hearts, a Silver Star, and was up for a Bronze Star. Quite an amazing guy. And then my oldest brother did 2 tours in Vietnam. And so when they came back, I didn't want anything to do with Vietnam. So I was like, no, it just kind of worked out that way. But it was just one of those incidences. Praise the Lord. Why don't you stand up this morning? And we just want to honor his word today. His word is so good. Hallelujah. And we are loved today. You are loved this morning. Praise God. And love his word today. Why don't you turn, if you would, over to 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. Hallelujah. Great verse of scripture. Love this scripture. Man, John just kind of puts it out here for us this morning. So, for whatever, or you could say whoever, is born of God, overcomes the world. The world's ideology, this world system. And this is the victory that has overcome the world. What? Our faith. What is the victory that overcomes the world? Our faith is the victory. So we can say faith is the victory that's overcoming in our life. Amen. So hold up your Bibles this morning. Let's say it like we mean it. Come on, say it with Pastor. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. And I can do what it says I can do. Today, I boldly confess my mind is clear. My heart is open to receive God's word. And I will never be the same. Never, never the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn to somebody and say, are you living by faith? Are you living by faith this morning? Amen. Wow, what a powerful verse of scripture, because it really gives us the key to living a victorious life. It really gives us a key to living a victorious life. You know, God wants you living a victorious life. And I want to talk to you this morning about staying in faith, because as we stay in faith, we are honoring God. We are pleasing God. In fact, put up Hebrews 11:6 this morning. And, you know, we want to be pleasers of God. How many want to please God? Well, look at what 11:6 says. But without faith, it's impossible. It's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that first he is, and that he is what? He's a rewarder. Faith is so vitally important. Where the enemy attacks us is he tries to get us off of our faith. He will do that so subtle at times. In fact, he'll use people to try to get you off of your faith. People that, you know, we were talking about the abundance of the heart. People that are speaking negative to you, people that are speaking down to you, people that gossip to you. You don't need those people in your life. You need to be discerning of that. And cut the cord and say, no, I'm not going to allow that to happen. I'm not going to allow somebody to speak negative into my life. I'm going to open my ears to that kind of thing. Amen? You need to surround yourself with people that are going to speak life into you instead of death. You're going to surround yourself with people that are going to encourage you, hello, instead of speak against things. Man, there's a bunch of people in Christianity that they love just to open their mouth and say stuff and speak against dignities and speak against other ministries. And, you know, I'm amazed. You know, we're all doing the same thing. Hello? We're all trying to get the same result. We're trying to see people come to Christ. Well, I hope we are. Hello? Wow, you know, it's amazing how, you know, people speak, you know, if you go on Andrew Womack and you click him up and bring him up, right underneath Andrew Womack, you'll see false teachers. You know, you click on Joseph Prince, right under Joseph Prince, you'll see false teaching. you know, you Grefflowed our false teaching. Whoever it might be that really is speaking grace and, you know, really imparting this word of truth. You know, it's amazing how people, even in the body of Christ, want to attack itself. Folks, we're not to be doing those sort of things. We need to be uplifting one another. Man, I don't know about you. I need people to uplift me at times. You know, say, wow, Pastor, we're praying for you. We love you. You know, thank you, Wayne. Wayne, thank you. I want to thank you. Wayne always encourages me. You know, I know so many of you do, but Wayne, he'll come up to me or he'll say something, you know, and I walk in this morning, hey, Pastor, you know, so glad to see you. He's like, wow, that's refreshing. You know, man, it's good to know that you're loved once in a while, right? Amen. And you need to surround yourself with people who are going to encourage you. Amen. Encourage you in the faith, not discourage you. Amen. Not to, you know, love you here and then stab you there. Oh, I love you, brother. It's like they, you know, it's like they say down there in South Texas and down Louisiana, all the women, they have this saying, love your hair. And then really what they're saying is hate your guts. Y'all have to think about that. You have to be from the South a little bit to understand that. But, you know, we want to be surrounding ourselves with people. Iron sharpens iron. And we want to surround ourselves with people that really are going to love us for who we are and unconditionally. Unconditionally, because we're all not there yet. And so we have full of faults. That's where you practice grace. You know, that's what grace is about. Grace is receiving people where they are. Amen. Not that they're here yet, because we certainly aren't there. And I'm going to tell you, I don't know of any perfect church or any perfect pastor. You know, it's like somebody said, well, I'm leaving this church to go to another church. I found the perfect church. Well, as soon as they arrive, guess what? It's not perfect. It's not perfect because we're all full of faults. And you know what? It's like America. We're not perfect, but boy, it's a good place to be. I ain't planning on leaving. I wasn't planning on leaving before the election, and I ain't planning on leaving after the election. It didn't matter. I was going to be here. I like this place. Thank God for America. Come on, I'm preaching right now. Amen. It's a good place. It's a good place, you know. But we are so influenced by what Hollywood does and all that kind of stuff, man. No, you know, be influenced by the Word. You'll be much better off. You'll be much more encouraged if you're influenced by the Word. Amen. Not what somebody's saying to you. And then there's times, you know what, I've had to cut ties with people in my life because I found out they weren't doing me any good. Man, it's like, are you really? Are you serious? And I started, you know, and some people I thought were my dear friends, and all of a sudden I started hearing what they were saying and saying about other people. And I'm thinking, you know what, I'm not going to associate with that because it's so easy to fall into that. Our flesh, we like doing that at times, you know. We like talking about other ministries and places and people, and you know, and that's not the Spirit, folks. The Bible says love covers a multitude of sins. And my father-in-law would say makeup covers a multitude of sins. So he is, my father-in-law, we're going to write a book someday about the sayings of Popo, and because they're priceless at times, you know, but it's all good. So listen, God did not create us to operate out of stress, worry, fear. God doesn't want you living there. Turn to somebody and say, that is not your address as a believer. Amen. He wants you coming and being in a place of rest and peace. You know, I walked into a dealership this week, and it really was a fiasco. What our company does is we go into a dealership, and we'll pull out of that dealership their customers. And then what we do is send them a mailer of, you know, 1,500, 2,500 names. And then we follow that up. I do training on how to make a phone call to these people and, you know, engage them and have them and invite them into the dealership. And so we pull it out of that database, and then we send it out. And then I go in and we start doing training and doing that. Well, when I got there, come to find out, they pulled 2,500 names, sent 2,500 mailers to wrong people. Yeah, that's exactly what the GM of that dealership said, Mardana. He went, ha! You know, and I'm going, oh my gosh, you know. And so, you know, and then what we did is we did another pull of names, and we thought it was all right and all set. And when the GM, the general manager of the dealership, received those, he came to me and said, Steve, these are wrong. And he had a lot of choice words to talk to me about. And I thought, you know what, now I could really choose the flesh here and just rise up and slap him. Or I can choose the Spirit and rely on God and stay in my rest. I said, you know what? I'm not going to allow that to disturb my peace. So I started praying and asking the Lord and praying in the Spirit. You can pray in the Spirit anywhere. Did you realize that? When you're praying in the Spirit, it is such a refreshing, and you pray in the Spirit anywhere. So I just kind of went back in the room a little bit, and I just prayed in the Spirit and came back out. And I said, hey, I tell you what, why don't we go into your CRM here at this dealership? Can't we pull some names out of there? He said, yeah, we can do that. And I said, well, let's pull some names out of there. You know, because this event was going to be a disaster. I said, let's pull some names out of there. So we pulled a bunch of names out of there. And then I called back to our headquarters and said, guys, this is not working. We got to, you know, fix this somehow. And so we were able to go directly into the dealership and pull names out of there. And we ended up having a very successful event. And I was thinking, Lord, I could have got upset. In fact, you know what he told me? He said, why don't you just take your stuff and your company and you leave this dealership? He said, I paid a great sum of money to have you here. Why don't you guys just leave out of here? And I said, you know what I said? I said, no. I said, I'm not going to do that. So we're going to turn this around. We're going to fix this. It's going to be all right. You know? I mean, he was mad, and he was using some terms that you only hear sailors use. And sailors that have been in battle deeply. And I thought, no, you know what? I'm going to stay here in the Spirit. I have a choice here. I have a choice. I can, you know, God, you can help me turn this around and make it better. And God did, because I said, you know what? I'm going to stay in the Spirit. I'm not going to let it affect my peace. My peace is more important than what's going on right here. Amen. And God, you're going to help me get out of this situation. I tell you, praying in the Spirit is one of the most beneficial things you can do when you're in need of wisdom. Amen. And how many know if we all need wisdom? Right? So, you know, it's so important that you do that. So look at this. We are to stay in that peace. Only when we arrive at that place of peace will we see that manifestation in our lives. Faith is so important. Rest does not mean inactivity. Rest doesn't mean that I was inactive, hello. Rest doesn't mean that I was just laid back there, okay? But rest means continuing to walk in faith. It's when we're out of faith that we're out of rest. Amen? It's when we're in faith that we're continuing to rest. Faith is an activity. Faith is believing. Believing is an activity. It doesn't mean that we just sit back and not do anything. Man, we are at rest in our spirit, but we're resting and believing, and it's an activity. 2 Corinthians 5:7. 2 Corinthians 5:7. We continually walk in faith. We move forward in our daily lives, and we let go of anxiety and things that would cause us to be distracted and out of peace. Look at what it says. For we walk how? How do we walk as Christians? We walk by faith. Listen, grace, we know, has provided everything. But the way we see the manifestation of everything that grace has provided is when we walk in faith. Amen. When we're walking in faith, we're going to see the manifestation of everything that grace has provided for us. Oh, amen. That's where God desires for us. We can't please God without it. Amen. And we want to please God. We want to bless God. And what does this require? It requires that we have that confidence in Jesus Christ and what he did 2,000 years ago. That the work's been completed, that the results are already there and done. And what we do is we stay in faith. Amen. Because faith is our victory. That's what the word says. Faith is our victory. We stay in that area of faith. Hallelujah. And we receive everything that grace has provided. Turn to somebody and say, he's preaching real good and he's feeling better and better and gooder and gooder. Amen. So the only way we can benefit from what the word of God says is to confidently accept it by faith, regardless of the devil's attempts to move us out of the place of rest. Regardless of his attempts, we're going to stay there in faith. I want to read you something. I had a young man several years ago that the Lord allowed me to influence his life. He was open to to influence in his life. He was actually going to be a police officer, and he was blind in one eye. And God woke me up one night about 3 o'clock in the morning and said, go down to the police station and tell him that he's not supposed to be a police officer any longer, that he's supposed to be in the ministry, and that he's supposed to be your youth pastor. Okay? And it was quite the interesting story that we had, but how God just did several things. He came out of that police department, and one day he was there in a squad car being Barney Fife, and I snuck up on his blind side. Literally, blind side. Well, old pastor, you know, he's all in his uniform. And I said, Tim, man, you know, would you come on and do what the Lord has for you to do? And I just wanted to find something here. I wanted to read you. It's kind of cool. God is good, if I can find it. I love when my Verizon works, don't you? So he just kind of out of the blue, he's now way up in a denomination, and God's just given him such favor, and he's got a great ministry. He said, love you as well. He said, I wouldn't be here today where I am without the good Lord and his faithfulness in you. Thanks for listening to the Holy Spirit, and thanks for your patience with me. But most of all, thanks for believing in me. Most would have written me off and given up on me. Sounds like you have a ministry of never give up. And patience is a virtue. Love you, Pastor Mac. I said, wow. I said, love you, Pastor Mac. I said, love you too, buddy. So he's up in Maine. He's a maniac. And so he loves Jesus. You know, and I'm telling you guys, staying in faith, impacting lives with your life, is so much rewarding than anything else you would know of. And it really is. Find our place of rest in God. It is extremely important. Look at Hebrews 10:35-36. It says, do not throw away your confidence in God, your confidence in Him answering you, your confidence in Him showing up at the right time, your confidence of receiving all that we have need of in Him. Don't throw away that confidence, that attitude, that faith, which has great compensation of reward. You have need of what? Patience. Patience. That's what Tim says. He says that's one of your virtues. You have that never give up attitude. You know, I remember I was I played basketball in high school. Do you have any other basketball players in here? Basketball, you know, Andrew was great at basketball. I sucked. Well, actually, I really could shoot well, you know, but I just couldn't do anything else well. So, you know, and I remember I tried out for the team, and I made the team. Don't ask me how I made the team. And but I had a couple guys on there. Their half-brother played for the Olympic team. Back in 1962, and of course, this is back in the 70s. But anyway, you know, I was on the team. I never got to go into a ball game unless we were 30 points ahead, and there was 2 minutes left. And then coach would send me in. Hallelujah, you know? But I remember I was there one day, and all the guys were running around. And you know, sometimes when you got talent, you slack. Do you realize that? People with talent, a lot of times, they just slack. It's like, you know, they don't push. And I remember the coach, one day I was there and we were all surrounded, and I was dripping wet with sweat. We were doing some, you know, fast breaks up and down the court and doing bleachers, you know, and I love to do bleachers. I'd worked so hard. And he turned to all the guys and he pointed at me. He said, you know what? If you guys had the work ethic as McIntosh here, you all would be winners. And I went, whoa. You know, teenage kid, I went, wow. He just has that don't quit spirit. And I figured, you know, don't quit, guys. Turn to somebody and say, don't quit. Stand in faith. Stand against it. Amen. Stand up in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Have patience. He said, you have need of patience, so when you do God's will, amen, you receive what? the promise of God's will. Many people give up on the brink of a miracle because it starts looking bad and they're looking through the eyes of flesh or pressures upon them. Don't allow that to happen. The devil's main weapon against us is to try to accuse us and try to wear down our confidence. He wants to wear you down. He wants to wear you out. Amen. That's his objective, is try to wear out the saints. There's a scripture in the Old Testament that bears that out. Listen, don't allow him to wear you out. Amen. He wants to knock us out of the place of rest and keep us in worry and stress by causing us to pay attention to what we see or hear around us. He wants to pressure you so much that you open up your mouth and curse what God's trying to bless. He wants to pressure you so much that he gets you to the point to open up your mouth. When he came to Jesus, that's exactly what he was trying to do. And he came to him when? When? When he'd been fasting and praying for how long? 40 days and what? 40 nights, the devil came to him, and what he tried to do is put so much pressure on him and tell him all these things. And when Jesus opened up his mouth, it wasn't something negative come out. It wasn't a curse that came out. It was the word of God that came out. Oh, my goodness. Amen. He wants us to open our mouth and agree with him instead of opening our mouth and agreeing with the word. And he'll cause you to say all kinds of things if you let him. Amen. Patience is defined as constantly, consistently remaining the same. You got to listen to this. Patience is defined as constantly, consistently remaining the same. Remain the same where you are in the promises of God. Amen. The scripture provides strategies. How do we develop confidence in God? Well, you know the first one pastor always goes to, Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, you present your bodies a living sacrifice. What? Which is holy and acceptable, right? And you be not conformed to this world, but be what? Transformed by what? The renewing of your mind. That's where he works at. That is what he wants to attack. First of all, is your thought life. Amen. That's why the Corinthians tells us, 2 Corinthians 10, what, 4, in that area there, that we are to throw down those thoughts and cast down those imaginations and everything that rises up against the knowledge of God. What's the knowledge of God? The knowledge of God is his word. So when we're feeling the pressure to get out of our rest and get out of that place of peace and get out of that place of patience, amen, what do? We reflect on that word, amen. We reflect on it, and we confess it out of our mouth. Romans 10, 8 through 10. Romans 10, 8 through 10. Wow, some great scripture. This is the basic root element of our Christianity. This is how you were born again, by these verses. This was not just for salvation, although we use it mainly for salvation. But this is for everything that we have in Christ these verses pertain to. Did you hear what I said? Everything we have in Christ, these verses pertain to. It pertains to us staying in faith. He says, but what does it say? The word is near you. Where is that word to be found? In your mouth and the other place, in my heart. Hallelujah. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be sozo. Everything that God has for you is found in this right here. Believing and confessing God's word over that situation keeps you in faith, keeps you there in that place of rest, keeps you there saying, God, you have it. Hallelujah. I'm just waiting for the manifestation. I'm constantly abiding here in this place. Y'all hearing what I'm saying? For with the heart believes in righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made, and guess what shows up? Salvation. Everything we need. How cool is that, guys? Amen. Look at Hebrews 10:23. Hebrews 10:23 says, hold fast. Let us hold fast the confession of our faith, of our hope, without wavering. For he who has promised is what? How many believe God's faithful? How many believe he's faithful? How many believe he's able to show up and show out on your behalf? How many have seen God do that time and time again? Amen. Don't allow the enemy to move you out of your victory, your place of victory. Victory has a voice. Amen. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph. Hallelujah. Amen. He tells us that we can speak to our mountains and they have to move. Mark 11:23. Be a mountain mover. Start speaking to that situation. It's going to turn around. Amen. Start believing. When you start believing something big enough, you'll start speaking it boldly. Amen. Speak it. Amen. Look at Psalms 107:2. How many redeemed people do I have here? Anybody redeemed this morning? What are you believing for today? You believing for something big in your life? You believing for a breakthrough in your finances? You're believing for a man with a tan and a Bible in his hand to show up if you're a single woman here this morning? What are you believing for? Amen. Praise God. Start speaking it. Praise God. Start, you know, get you some pictures of Fabio and start speaking over Fabio to come in your life. Just make sure Fabio is saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Spirit, right? Amen. Start believing God for some things. Amen. Wow, you know, we have not because we ask not. Hallelujah. Oh, my goodness. We have not because we ask not. And then James says, when we do ask, we ask amiss. You know, God wants to bless it with his kingdom increasing. God has kingdom mentality, church. Amen. Hallelujah. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. What? Whom he has redeemed from the hand. Wow. That is powerful. Speaking the word frees you from the hand of the enemy. Frees you from the hand of the enemy. Whenever you speak that word, it frees you from the hand of the enemy. Speak it over your children. Do you speak that word over your children? You need to speak it over your children. Amen. I spoke it over our girls. You know, I am so blessed by our children. I am all three of my girls, three of my son-in-laws. I mean, I am so blessed by them. They love Jesus. Amen. They're committed Christians. They love God. They love each other. It's just an awesome thing. Amen. And I really believe the result of so much of that is speaking that word over them when they were children. Amen. Even in the womb, I'd speak over Holly's belly. I'd speak over those kids, man, declaring the word over them. Amen. You've got to be so careful raising these children today. You got to raise them with a strong image of in Christ. You need to let them know who they are in Christ. Amen. That they are always winning. The Bible says we always triumph in him. Amen. Praise God. You got to let them know because they're going to be impacted with the world out there. I remember Elise wanted to try out for basketball. She was in eighth grade, and, you know, she's about a foot taller than everybody else, and she was clumsy as can be. She's just gangly, you know, this tall little girl out there. But she wanted to try out for basketball because all of her little friends, shorter people, nothing wrong with that. Hello. Wanted to try out, you know. And you know what? She tried to work at it and, you know, practice, and she didn't get picked. You know, and I could have, you know, discouraged her, but I just came to her and I said, I was a dumb coach. I said, I'm sorry, Elise. I said, you know what? He could have taught you basketball skills, but he sure couldn't teach you height. I wanted her to be proud of who she was and her height and carry herself, because a lot of times she didn't want to do that. She wanted to fit in down here, but God put her up here. You know, so be proud of you. You're unique. It's like how you sneak up on a rabbit that's unique. You sneak up on him. You're unique. God made you. Holly talked about it. God made you fearfully and wonderfully. You are beautifully made. Tell that to your children. Let them know they are beautiful in Christ's sight. They are beautiful to you. Speak good words over them. Speak the word of life over them. Put a destiny in their heart to do something great in the kingdom of God. Amen. Put a destiny in your heart baby, you know, you got destiny in you. God's got something great for you to do. Amen. I mean, start speaking that over them. Guys, it's so important. You got grandchildren. Speak good things over them. You know, I have a grandson. I pulled him aside one day, and I started speaking life into him. He was going through a situation, and I just spoke life to him. I told him how handsome he was, what a great kid he was, how much God had for him. Don't settle, son, for less. God's got good for you. It's life, church. It's life. Hello, you hear what I'm saying? It's life. The words that I speak, Jesus said, are what? Spirit and life. Amen. Meditate on it. Ponder it. You know Joshua 1:8 says, the book of God's law shall not depart out of your mouth. You should meditate on it how? Day and night. See that you do everything written in it. Then you shall prosper and be in health. I love 1 Timothy 4:15. 1 Timothy 4:15. I don't know if we can get the right translation. I'm not sure which one. Yeah, look at this. 1 Timothy 4:15. Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. Meditate, amen, profiting from them. It will be visible to everyone. Hallelujah. Pray in the Spirit and pray with confidence. Pray the Word of God. Pray the Word of God. Amen. Pray the Word of God. Confess to each other, the Bible says, slips, offenses, and sins. Pray for each other that you might be healed, restored, James 5:16. The heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available. Wow. How do you do that? By praying the Word, staying in faith. Amen. You know, it's our job just to maintain the victory. God's already won the victory. You're not trying to get the victory. The victory's already won. You're just maintaining what you got. Amen? And that maintenance means we stay in faith. It's the work is believing and receiving. Amen. That's all God says He requires you to do. That is the work. Amen. Stand this morning. Praise God. That is the work. Hallelujah. Man, you guys are loved today. Praise God you are. Turn to somebody and say, I am victorious, whether you think I am or not. Say, I've got the victory anyway. Say, my kids are growing in Jesus. They're going to be some of the best kids. They're going to be world changers. They're going to make an impact on this world. Amen. Turn to somebody and say, it's not too late for you. Say, it's not too late for you. God's got something good for you in store. Amen. It is good. It is the good news. Hallelujah. Don't receive the bad news, receive the good news. You need to turn off some of that stuff you listen to. It'll get you down in a hurry. You need to turn on some good music, get some good vibes going on in there. And I'm not talking about the Beach Boys. I'm digging them good vibrations. No, amen. No, man, get some good things going on in your hearing, and put that word on in the morning. Get up with that word. And you know, Holly always gets up. She'll put on the word, and we'll hear some guy reading the word out with an English accent. And we'll just sit there and listen to that word. That word feeding into your spirit. Amen? Get up in the morning and try that. Get some verses. You know, you single women can still get, you know, Fabio, whoever, if you want to marry him, whatever, you know. So get the word up in your house. Get it around your house, surround it, get some notes, put it up, man. Hey, this is what I'm thinking about today. It's what my mind's dwelling on. And then don't just keep it, share it with somebody. Christians get so absorbed inward at times. It's like, no, God called us to be witnesses. We huddle together like, you know, porcupines at times, you know. No, God called you to be a witness. Praise God. Go out there and witness to someone. Share your faith. Hallelujah. Listen, if you need prayer today, we want to offer prayer for you. We know God has got it already. Praise God. We just release life into you. Amen. You are blessed today. Praise God. But if you need prayer, we want you to come forward. Let's bow our heads just a moment. You need prayer today, just come forward. We want to pray for you. Release the life of Christ in you today, knowing that healing has already been provided for. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Anyone at all? Praise God. Come, let's believe God. Praise the Lord. Anybody else this morning? Come on up. Praise the Lord. Amen. We want to release life in you today. Praise God. Anybody else this morning? Praise the Lord. God is already working, already here on our behalf. Hallelujah. Anybody else today? Praise God. Stretch forth your hands this morning, church. Believe with us. Amen. Believe and receive today. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen.